Hey, good morning, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord to worship our Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. When I, came here about 2 weeks ago, the layover, is so long that I have been having a jet lag. For about a week, but I've recovered from it. So today the theme is love. Love is a theme. Okay. A doctor was called upon to treat a group of people who suffer from a very strange disease. And after examination, they discovered that these people were filled with a poison that will not only eventually destroy their bodies, but rob them of all the joy, the peace of life, and will eventually destroy their souls. Now he discovered that they were filled with poisons of envy, of jealousy, of self-centeredness, hate, and faction, division. Now, each are thinking of themselves, himself, is more important than his fellows. One say that he is the finest speaker. Another say that he has the power to look into the future and to tell what the future is like. The wise doctor told them that no matter what abilities they may possess or what service they may render, if their hearts were not filled with love, they do not amount to anything. Then he prescribed a medicine, a drug, and this drug is called love. This drug was prescribed for the entire group of people. Now, the drug is to be taken daily, one or two doses a day. Now, the drug has to be taken the rest of the life, every day, they will take it. You see? And the name of the doctor is called Dr. Paul. Dr. Paul. Now, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is on the theme love. Now, this love is not the love that has been portrayed on television, on Hollywood. Okay, this love is the love of God. This love comes from God. Because the Bible said that we are able to love because God loved us first. If it had not been for the love of God, we would not be able to love. So love is the most important thing in our life. Now, if you have a Bible, turn to the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read from verses 1 to 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Whatever we might have or do, if we do not have love, we are nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 begins this way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flame, but I have not love, I gain nothing. I read somewhere that these three verses have been paraphrased. Okay? Paraphrased to the contemporary language. So I'm going to try to give it to you. If I can sing like Amy Grant. Is Amy Grant the person now? Maybe somebody else, okay? If I can sing like Amy Grant. Or preach like Billy Graham. Okay, but say nothing loving, I am nothing but an electric electric guitar or a set of drums. You will have ESP. And as learned as Einstein, or can move mountains just by the exertion of faith alone, but have no love in my heart. I am as empty as outer space. If I put my whole wardrobe in the goodwill box, or set myself afire, like a Buddhist monk, but do them without love, I accomplish exactly nothing. And then beginning from verse 4, all the way to verse 8, Paul gave us a list of the definition of what love is. He gave us 15 ingredients that you need, you see, that is used to make up this medicine called love. So here are the 15 ingredients. Number one is love is patient. Love is patience. There's a great preacher by the name of Chrysostom. He was such a great preacher who is being called the golden mouth. He is able to speak, and when he preaches, even the birds stop chirping and listen to his sermon. And therefore he's called the golden mouth. Now this is what he said. He said, love is. This is how he explained the word patient is in our text. This word is used of the man who is wronged, who is offended, and who has easily in his power to avenge himself, and who yet will not do it. Now that is patient. Okay. Such patience is not the sign of weakness, but the sign of strength. Now do you know the Chinese character for the word patient? How it's written? It is a knife or plate of a knife. Okay, placed on the top of the heart. Now the heart, you know, into the Chinese thinking is the central of your feeling of your being. You see? So it means that you're under stress and somebody is doing something terrible to you. Okay? And you have the willpower to endure it. You see? It means patient means to possess endurance under stress. No matter how hard it is, you are going to endure it to the end. It's the mental attitude you have with a situation or with a person. You are not going to give up. That's what patience is. So the ingredient number one. Ingredient number two is love is kind. Okay, love is kind. Vernon Magee says, love is impossible without kindness. Love without kindness is like springtime without flowers. It's like fire without heat. And remember how Paul admonishes us. He said, be kind one to another, render tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. So kindness means a forgiving heart. Ingredient number three, love does not envy. Now, the Greek word for envy may be used as a virtue, meaning an assiduous striving for the good. But here it implies an envious striving, which is incompatible with love. Love is content with its Lord. Be happy where you are and be happy with what you have. To envy is to want what the other person has. The one to envy is to get that what you want from the other person, that you're going to have it, and so that he will not have it. That's envy. So envy. Okay. Now love always congratulates. See, when you don't know how to congratulate the achievement of another person sincerely, that is envy. So I underline the word sincerely. Now you may congratulate someone's achievement. Because of achievement, you congratulate. But it's out of politeness. There's no sincerity. You just say it, you see, because you have to say it. But here, love means you congratulate a person's achievement sincerely. Ingredient number four, love does not boast. Love does not boast. It is not proud. Love is humility. Now, there are many pictures of Jesus Christ that has been painted by good artists. We have seen him triumphantly entering into Jerusalem. We have seen him painted as one who is kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying to God. We see the picture of Jesus Christ being nailed to the cross. And we see the picture of many other pictures. But there's another one that I would like you to see, okay, which is portrayed in John chapter 13, verse 5. John chapter 13, verse 5. I say, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. A picture of humility of God. See, we are a proud people. Too proud. Too proud. You see? We do things and we want to do big things. You see? And then we want everybody to know that we are doing big things. You see? We demand our desire being met, our right not violated. We insist on our wishes. But how different was Jesus? See? Knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hand. See, because the Bible says, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. So all power, see, the Father had given to him, yet he washed the feet of the disciple. He washed the feet of the disciple. See, when we have our feeling hurt, we fight back. We whine. We fuss. We carry grudges. We assert our rights. And we demand attention. It has man spit on Christ and blasphemed his name. What did he do? He did not strike back with the mighty fist of God. But he prayed. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So in the upper room that night, Luke tells us that there was strife among the disciples. As you will see in Luke chapter 22, verse 24. They were jealous of each other. They were seeking the most prominent place when Jesus established his kingdom. One wanted to sit on his left, one wanted to sit on the right. One wanted to be a general, one wanted to be the secretary of treasury. They all want to have a place of prominence in the government of Jesus Christ, in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, girded himself with a towel, and getting on his knees, began to wash the disciples' feet. So, let us learn to wash each other's feet. Ingredient number five, love is not rude. Love is good manner. Love never wants to offend. It never demands its right. It is respectful, is ever mindful of the desire and comfort of the other. Now, sometimes I see people who are most rude with each other are husbands and wives. See, myself included. Now, the Chinese teaches us that husband and wives ought to treat each other as guests. See, when we bring something to our spouse, we are supposed to bring it with two hands and bring it so high to the eye level. See, that is how the Chinese teachers, sages teaches the respect. So that's to say that to treat each other with respect and honor. So often we take our spouse for granted. We can be polite to other people, but we forget to be polite with our spouses. Ingredient number 6. Love is not self-seeking. Now the greatest verse in the Bible is, "For God so loved the world that He gave." For God so loved the world that He gave. Love is always more concerned with what it can give and not what it can get. Love is always more concerned with what it can give. Love is seeking to serve rather than to be served. Love understands that not what we gain, but what we give, then measure the worth of life we live. Ingredient number 7. Love is not easily angered. The man who can control his anger conquers the world. Anger is always a sign of defeat. When we lose our temper, we lose everything. In martial arts, we are taught never to lose our cool, to be calm. When you are in the combat, when you are, you know, fighting with another person, when you lose your temper, okay, you lose control, and you become confused, and your opponent will have an edge over you. So be calm and be cool. Ingredient number 8. Love keeps no record of wrong. The love keep records is an accounting word. It is the word that is used for entering up an item in a ledger so that it will not be forgotten. And that is what many of us do. You do this to me, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to imprint it in my brain. I will never forget it. But when I have a chance, I'm going to get back at you. I'm going to make you pay, and make you pay big. Number 8. Love keeps no record of wrong. Oh, that's what I've just said. Okay. Ingredient number 9. Love does not delight in evil. That means we do not find any pleasure in anything wrong. There are people who is happy when we hear something derogatory of somebody's affair. You see, when we talk about spiritual things, things that are good and noble, we have no interest. See, we don't care for it. But when we hear somebody talks about some spicy affairs of somebody, we pull our chair closer, we want to hear these spicy stories. Right? But love's not like that. See, love is not like that. Love does not delight in evil. As Christians, when we hear something like this, we should discourage people by stopping them. Don't encourage them. Ingredient number 10. Love rejoices with truth. We may think it is easy to rejoice with the truth, but the fact of the matter is, so often we do not want the truth to prevail, because the truth is too painful. Too painful. We often like to deceive ourselves. See, one time when my wife came home with a new hairdo, so she asked me, "How do I look?" And usually a new hairdo looks very ugly. Right? So I asked her, "Do you want the truth?" See, so do not come home with a new hairdo unannounced, because you may give your husband a heart attack. So she asked me, "Do you want the truth?" I asked her, "Do you want the truth?" And she thought for a little while. She said no. She said no. Okay. Well, in that case, you're like a fairy descending from heaven. A beautiful fairy descending from heaven. We don't like the truth. You see? And ingredient number 11. Okay. Love always protects. Some translation translate this way. Love can cover anything in the sense that love will never keep picking faults of others. Okay. Now, this story comes from a mega church in the U.S. Okay. It was a big church in the U.S. And there is a money counting room that is being designated for counting the collection of the day. See, they collect the money, and then there will be a room that is designated for that. Okay. Now, the rule is that when the money counting people get into this room will be locked, and nobody will be allowed to go into this room. You see. So they did not know that this room had been used by. Okay, now let me go back a little bit. Okay. Now, the room that they used to count money, the AC, the air condition, was broken. So they had to use another room. Now, they did not know that this room had been used by a single mother to nurse her baby. Okay? So every Sunday she would do that. But this time, this room had been used for counting money. And nobody would be allowed to go into this room. Okay? So when the single mother wants to go into this room, they say, sorry, this is now we're going to use this for counting money. You're not allowed to come in. And when she heard that, she was enraged. She was shouting all kinds of abuses. All you care is money. All of you are hypocrites. And she continued on and on and on for a long time. The administrator of the church was called. He was a man who is good at handling this kind of situation. He was calm and gentle. He just said, forgive us. Please forgive us. But she went on and on about, all kinds of abuse. Okay. And this man just said, please forgive us. Please forgive us. Until the mother was so moved, she was moved to tears. She broke down and wept. And the administrator went and hugged her. She said she was wrong. She did not know why this outburst of anger came to her. He could have rebuked her and there would be more hurt. But his love covers her pain and hurt. He's able to see the pain in this sister, you see, and to cause her to do what she did. His love covered her pain and hurt. And so here, this administrator practices love that protects. Ingredient number 12, love always trusts. It means that love always believes the best about other people. See, we live a happier and healthier life if we are not always suspicious of other people. Okay? We will live a happier and healthier life if we are not always suspicious of other people. A lot of time, the pain and suffering we have is self-inflicted. You see? We torture ourselves by being suspicious of other people. We say to ourselves, he doesn't like me. He hates me. You see? And he is here to get at me, you see. We paint the worst picture of the person or the situation. It's always true that what we make of people, what we believe of this person. Now, this is what we call a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we say this person hates me, he disliked me, he is here to get me. You know what happened is we will do everything we can to make this person hate me and dislike me. And so, fulfilling the prophecy that you have just said. You see? Ingredient number 13. Love always hope. Means being optimistic about a situation or a person. We hope for the best. Ingredient number 14. Love perseveres. It means to bear and to endure. But this is not passively bearing things. See, You say to yourself, I have a horrible husband, but I'm going to bet. I have a horrible wife, so I'm not going to fight with him or fight with her. I'm going to bet. No, that's not what this word means. When husband and wife said they never fight, see, it may not be good. It may not be necessarily good. It may be one side or both sides have given up the relationship. They don't fight anymore. See, this kind of passively bearing is not healthy in a relationship. The word, this word in Greek, has a conquering and transforming spirit. It is done in the active spirit with hope. With hope. He's not able to see the way I see it. It's all right. Because one day he will. You see, I'm going to find another way to let him see my way. You see. And this is bearing it actively. You see. Love will finally conquer. Love perseveres. Right, the next one, ingredient number 15. Love never fails. Love never dies and is never defeated. So sad to see how love is being portrayed nowadays on television and by Hollywood. It's a physical, sensual, passionate kind of love. This kind of love never lasts. This is the reason why we have many divorces nowadays. It's not the kind of love that holds two hearts together. But the love the Bible teaches is eternal, is permanent, and is forever. In verse 8, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, says, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, there will cease. Where there are tongues, there will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. All these gifts, no matter how wonderful they are, will one day cease, but love never fails. So here we have 15 ingredients. They mix up together, become a drug called love. Now, have you taken the Chinese medicine? You know, Chinese medicine is made up of many ingredients. It can be leaves, the roots, and the seeds, and sometimes the ingredients include a cockroach. Do you know that? Some of the medicine that you take have cockroach inside. And then it will be like you have to boil two bowls of water and then boil until there's one bowl. See, the Chinese don't tell you the exact amount, just tell you so many bowls. And then how long? You don't know. You just boil until it's one bowl. You see? And then it come up, it's black. It's very yucky. And you drink it, it's bitter. Don't like it. But it's good for you. It's good for you. You see? So, when you drink it, it's going to help you and bring you to good health. You see? Now, the ingredient Paul gave us, 15 ingredients that make up this drug, is good for you. It's not only good for you, but it's the command of Jesus Christ. You know that? See? It's the command of Jesus Christ. You see? Remember in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, see, this is a very familiar passage, right? You should be able to memorize it. I give you a new commandment. And what is this new commandment? That you love one another. If you have love one for another, then the world will know that you are my disciples. See, love one another. This is the command. Okay? See, now, do you have a dog? You see, if you have a dog, one thing that you have to do when you bring the dog home, you have to house train the dog. Right? You have to teach him to listen to your command. Right? Sit, he will sit. Stay, he will stay. Roll over, he will roll over. I have a friend, you know, he's a funny guy. child, teach the dog to pray. Pray, he will put the paw together. Amen, he will eat. You see? The dog listened to the command. This is just what is a pile of dog that, you know, respond to condition, a conditional response, right? Now, what we learn is that you can only teach the dog to listen to the command of what the dog is able to do. You see, you cannot teach the dog to the right Chinese character. You cannot do that because the dog will not be able to do it. Okay? So when Jesus gave us a command, it means that it is something that we are capable of doing. But why did Jesus say this is a command? You see? The reason is because we don't like to do it. You ask me to love this guy? You know what I know about this guy. You will never ask me to love this guy. So we don't want to love, you see. And that's the reason why Jesus said this is a command. Jesus didn't say this is a suggestion. Jesus didn't say, I gently remind you. See, in the church, people don't give command. We say, gently reminder. But in the Bible, Jesus said, this is a command. Now, what is the only response to a command? If a commanding officer tells you to do something, what is the legitimate? The only response to a command. The officer said, this is an order. You see, the only respond to a command, to an order is, yes, sir. You see, you don't say, yes, sir, but. You see, the commander said, go, charge. You say, yes, sir, but. But all the bullets are flying all over. How can I do that? It's going to kill me. You don't do that. The officer say, this is an order, charge. Then you go, charge forward. You see? So, remember that this is not only good for you, good for your health, but this is the command of Jesus Christ. This is not a suggestion. And Paul concludes this chapter by saying that now these three things remain. Love, hope, and faith. But the greatest of these is love, you see. When we all get to heaven, the object of our love will be fulfilled. All our hopes will be realized. There will be nothing left to love, to hope. There will be nothing, there will be no need for faith because we see Jesus Christ, you see. But love remains because the greatest of these is love, you see. So let us depart from here and commit ourselves to practice this kind of love. In our home, in our place of work, in our school, okay? And more so in our church, okay? And with this kind of love, we will conquer any problem in the church. Okay? Let's pray. Our Father, our God, we thank you for this time that we can listen to your sermon. We just pray that your Spirit will continue to speak to us and guide us and touch our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.